So as I said, we are continuing in our theme of growing together. We're listening for the ways in which our ancestors in Scripture have used the language of growth, the growth of nature, as a pattern for the growth in nature of Christian community. Because our ancestors were much more connected to the earth than most of us are. Anybody else get to enjoy maybe going to bed when it was just dark because the power was out? So I have been working from the ground up. So last week we talked about the ways in which our roots sustain and give life to us. And we also talked a little bit about what happens when we get our roots crowded up, maybe, and tangled. Why we might need the full richness of our history and the full width of our spiritual root system, so to speak, to help us stand up, I don't know, against some sort of October gigantic nor'easter. Anybody see any trees go over that maybe their roots had not quite spread wide enough to give them a solid base? Today, Jesus is going to be talking about branches and vines. He's speaking to his disciples on his last night with them in what we sometimes call the farewell discourse in the Gospel of John. It is an extended teaching and prayer for them. In this section, he invites them to be one with him, to connect to what gives life in his teaching, in his ministry, but maybe also in his very being as the incarnate one. So listen for how we might grow together in these words of Scripture. John.
This morning's reading is from John's Gospel, the 15th chapter, the 1st through the 8th verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. So endeth the reading, and may God add his blessing of understanding. Amen.
So this entire series started from a vine, really. A thing which honestly did not belong in my yard, I later found out. Thank you. Yet one day I looked out and this really delicate vine had kind of wrapped itself around the post of my bird feeder. And it was climbing to the sky. It made me think of this scripture of Jesus inviting us to be a part of a vine of life with him. The Apostle Paul would later go on and say that we're maybe grafted on. But Jesus wants to say that we might be the same vine, all one. One and the same, branches from him grown by God. I'm thankful for the ministers of worship for helping design our space for this fall, because there is something about vines that is amazing to me when you think about the fact that really they are a very complicated and delicate way to transmit life. Over incredible distances, really, incredible lengths, they find ways. Sometimes they grow far, sometimes they grow high. This one day, looking out on my yard, I couldn't help but think of two things. the delicate and essential ways in which each part had to be connected, one to the other, to sustain life, and the way in which they had focused their growth, somehow managing to find a way to climb, to rest one branch upon the other, but not crowd out all life below them, to reach for the light. So Jesus invites his disciples to abide in him as branches of a vine, and that invitation is to be connected and sustained by his teaching and relationship with him. And I want to say also to be one with all that is through his incarnation and his life. Remember, we always got to hold those two things at the same time. Jesus as teacher and Jesus as Christ, through which all things have been fulfilled in creation. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the ways in which we get connected. I also think we need to talk a little bit about all this pruning conversation in here, because it gets a little scary in there. It is a little maddening for me that in many circles of Christian talking and thinking, we have tended to make Jesus small and ourselves large. What I mean by Jesus as small is that we have been content to focus on our own individual relationship with Jesus, but not to trust God, the vine grower, to care, to ask us to mind the health of the whole plant of which we are a part. What makes the gathered saints in any church, you know that you're the gathered saints, right? We covered that a little bit in our history last week. The congregational folks called you all the visible saints. What makes the gathered saints powerful is not just that each one of us might have a relationship with Jesus in our lives. What makes the church powerful is that we have a relationship with each other. And through that, we might know more and more deeply about our relationship with Jesus and the Holy. Remember, incarnation means anytime you're dealing with a human person, you are dealing with Jesus. Some part of the Holy Spirit, some part of Jesus' life and ministry is alive and talking to you, and you have to find a way to listen to it. This is, as a wise colleague once said, just that easy, just that hard. Just that easy, because the word that Jesus uses here is abide, right? It's a little fancy. We don't use it all the time, but it works, right? There's nothing that a branch needs to do to earn life from the vine, right? It just is. If anything, it just needs to focus on being one, to stay connected, to have a relationship like the one Jesus invites us to today. We simply need to be with each other in the midst of incredibly busy lives. Thank you, Kyle. We need to be reminded to simply be in relationship with one another, to be able to focus and give our whole selves to be in that relationship. How often do we find ourselves overperforming or over-examining or overproducing our friendships and our relationships? I'm not even going to get into the workplace, because that's a whole other thing that I can't deal with today. But just in our relationships, how often do we find ourselves feeling bound, feeling like we have to do a lot in order to belong, when in fact what we are invited to is to simply be. Be with one another. When things are good, yes, and when things are hard. I often notice that when things are hard, people feel like they ought to do something. Maybe instead just show up and be. Maybe abide with one another. So I do give thanks for the gifts of this community, for the chance to worship, which is to say, be simply. To sing, to pray, sometimes to knit, sometimes to serve, to play together here. I know that there are incredible friendships here that have spanned across decades. And I know that there are friendships that have just begun here. I hope that you are invited here to build relationships with each other based simply on being beloved of God. And that you nourish and nurture that time to simply be with one another, connected to your own belovedness and also in one with Jesus. This doesn't mean some sort of sappy everyone is best friends and we're all soulmates and we all think is one here kind of thing. We're congregationalists after all. It means precisely the opposite. We are different and wild, and each of us probably in some way perfectly enraging. And we think in incredibly diverse ways. And we are still one. And we are called to live as one, abiding with one another just as we abide in Jesus. Just that hard, as they say. Even more, that oneness is not without consequence. The reality of Christ's incarnation and connection to our lives is simple, but it is also hard. It demands our wrestling with the complexity and the web of life, of brokenness, of systemic sin or injustice that ensnares and oppresses others as much as it does us. So we're also called to ask, what is the ethic and the justice we are called to as we live more deeply into the reality that we are one, not just with those here, but those all around the world? We are connected in a web or quilt of all life. So I want to talk about the pruning piece here. I do think we make Jesus small sometimes, and I also think we make ourselves too large. What I mean by making ourselves large is that when we encounter passages of Jesus, sometimes John the Baptist also uses this imagery. There's a lot of fire, did you notice? We have tended to think that God's judgment works on the per-human basis. Some of us are dead wood and are headed for the fire. And some of us will be happily watered and grow in all the right ways, perfectly and happily. Anybody feel like you're growing perfectly? Rather, what I think is lifted up today is this: all the vine actually needs tending. All of it will sometimes have growth that is not sustainable or healthy. All of us will need a little pruning to get to that which gives us life and lets us bear fruit. I know none of that feels fun. And I don't know about you, I tend to think of myself as too large, as the whole unit, right? I'm always building a bonfire somewhere off on the side to throw my whole self out onto. But that's not how any of this works, right? How much better to understand that there will be things in my life that have to fall away for me to be my whole self. For me to even be more deeply connected to you and to the world. How much more might we and everyone else understand God's grace if we got over debating who was headed for the fire and celebrated the ways in which beloved relationship and community often invites us to remember our life-giving connections and to prune just our own sense of self to what is truly life-giving for us and for others. So in answer to all that busyness where we don't even get to read the book about how we are too busy, what might we have to give up remembering that we simply are connected to be more holy ourselves? It may just be that what we most need to prune back is our activity, our performance, our productivity. Maybe we don't need another top 10 list of ways in which you can get more work done in the day. Maybe we need to refocus ourselves on simply being and abiding with one another and with God. So what things might you be able to cut away to even more deeply connect with one another? That's what I mean when I ask you to consider how we are growing together. To remember how we are connected. But to also remember it's okay to prune, to give new life. Anybody else notice all the little branches down on the streets in the last few days? What are all those branches largely? There's a few trees, I know. I'm sorry. But those little branches that all land on the ground, what do you notice about all of them? They're covering up acorns, fine. They're also dead, usually. Nature has a way of pruning. We need to remember it, too. It's okay to let some things go. Final thing, just a little preview of what's coming next week. It's important to note in all this imagery, in abiding and pruning and in connection, they do lead us to bear fruit. That's the language that gets used. So I started with roots, and today I did branches and vines. Guess what's coming next? Fruit. Okay, fine. But fruit, by the way, is not for the vine. It's for creating new life for others. We are, thanks be to God, sustained here as a people and as individuals by the Spirit and the relationship that we enjoy here. But we are sustained here partly so we can bear fruit for others in our community and in the world. So I'll ask you to think on that in the week to come. And next Sunday we'll come together. May we bear that fruit then, which gives witness to the glory of God who tends the vine and branches of our lives here and everywhere. May we abide more fully in the love of Jesus, which invites us to simply be in love and relationship. And may we be challenged to commit more fully our lives and witness to show that love. Amen.